Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. And let's start off the hour with Captain Lynn Smith down in Port O'Connor. See what's up with him. Down in Chatterville, as James calls it. What's up, Lynn?
Man, I tell you what, boy, there's everybody's going to the surf. I tell you.
Yeah, it's been a surf kind of last week or 10 days. A lot of fish being caught.
Oh, I know it. Everything. Tarpon. The tarpon have been crazy in the surf. And
right.
Everybody's taking advantage of it, you know. They've been out there like crazy. You know, everybody wants to hit those tarpon hard, and they're doing it. Everybody I've talked to has been out there catching tarpon.
Well, it gets calm. They get their window, and they got to seize the opportunity.
They do.
Boy, really tarpon fishing, man, 20, 30 years ago, nobody even thought about doing it. You know, they just now it's a big time craze.
You know, when I first started fishing Port O'Connor, there were a lot of baby tarpon in the bay.
Right.
I remember on the upper end of West Matagorda, there were a lot of baby tarpon, and you don't see that anymore. But you do see some bigger tarpon in the bay in the
right.
summer. And there's one area that I fished that I weighed, and you'll be wading, and you look out there, and you'll see these tarpon, big ones, free jumping. And they're just free jumping out there. And I'm thinking, man, what in the world is going on? Why are they jumping out there? And when they came out, when Garmin came out with Blue Chart and with that chip and everything for their GPS, it actually shows shell on the bottom. And I looked at that and I said, well, there it is. That's what it is. There's shell out there. And that's where those tarpon are.
Right.
And they're hanging out in that area right there. So I went out there with a cane pole. My dad used to call that a Cajun depth finder. That's what he called it, with a cane pole.
Right.
And I would go out there and just kind of ease along and use that cane pole.
Punch pole.
Along. That's it. And you feel that shell on the bottom. And I said, that's why those tarpon are out here. They're feeding in this area right here. And sure enough, that's where they were. And I was wading out there one time with a customer on the edge of that area. And we were catching trout. And all of a sudden, man, I hooked this fish. And I thought I'd hooked a trout. And the water just boiled. And I thought a shark had gone after my trout. Well, I jerked it, trying to get my trout away from the shark. Well, needless to say, it wasn't a shark. All of a sudden, about a 6-foot tarpon came out of the water with his gills flared and his mouth open, man. And then he went south. You know, I just put my thumb on the spool and broke him off because there's no way I was going to handle that. But there was a girl on the boat. She had stayed on the boat, and she was just sunbathing on the boat. And we got back to the boat, and I said, did you see that tarpon? She went, what? What tarpon? I said, never mind. I said, you missed it. I said, that was a beautiful fish. It really was. And but they come into the bay, and there's some pretty good-sized ones in the bay. People don't realize it, but there's some nice tarpon in the bay.
You know, we used to have some big ones that come into the bay, you know, over here, and I hadn't seen them in years. You know, every once in a while you'll see one roll, but it's mm-hmm. not as common as it used to be. You know, I had a guy I think it was a 188 in the bay. Going, man. My goodness. But we've hooked them and spooled us and all that while we're trout fishing, but you don't see it like that much anymore.
Well, with all the boat traffic and everything, you know, it's just not as common. I'd been in the surf one day, and I was coming back in through the big jetties, and I turned around that north jetty, and just as I turned around the jetty, there was a bunch of tarpon, looked like about four-footers, and they were rolling right along the rocks. Mm-hmm. And one of my customers said, "What's that?" I said, "Oh, that was a tarpon." Mm-hmm. I just kept going because I didn't have anything that could handle, you know. I didn't have any rods on the boat that could handle those tarpon. But those tarpon were just rolling right along the rocks. Man.
You know, I got an alert on my phone while talking to you, and I don't know what this is about. I'm trying to read it while I'm talking to you and figure out why. That the Texas Freshwater Fishery Center in Athens, you know, noted for being called the big bass capital world. It opened in 1996. They're closing indefinitely starting Friday, August 8th. That's this past Friday. In its Facebook post, officials wrote that the closure is for the safety of its guests, but did not disclose any further details. It's what gets me about government and stuff. But they did comment that there's no contamination issue and it's not an environmental problem. The center also confirmed that its staff is safe. Well, what's the problem then? Tell us why. You know, it's a 106-acre site there. And so I'll dig into that more and find out.
There's got to be something. I mean, they just wouldn't shut it.
You know, it has 56 species of fish and reptiles on display and all the, you know, it's, and they say nothing about why they're closing it indefinitely. So. Oh, well.
No challenge. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're closing it indefinitely, but everything's good. There's nothing to see here. No problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing to worry about.
For that. How about that?
Man, oh, man. But anyway, down here, yesterday, man, it was just people going crazy. Boats running everywhere. Bait camps running out of bait. I mean, it was just nuts, you know. Oh, man. I went over to Clark's yesterday. I was talking to the guy that runs the bait camp, and he was sweating. God, sweat just running off of him. And it was so funny. And he said, oh, man. He said, all these other bait camps ran out of bait. And he said, uh-oh. I'm running crazy. He said, man, people are just driving me crazy. But he was telling me how many dozen croakers he'd sold and everything. And
good
man,
Lord.
Man, they were just boats just roaring up there.
Well, when James was down there for that billfish tournament, he said, I've been around forever. I've never seen anything like this. He said, you want to see something popping and going on, come to Port O'Connor. You won't believe it, man. And that's when he nicknamed it Chatterville, because everybody had their chatter weights and lined up for croakers, and then they're out of croakers. Everybody's going crazy. He said it was something to see, man.
Oh, yeah. And everybody going to surf. And, oh, gosh. I mean, it's a madhouse. And, you know, and then Froggy's has that other parking lot that goes all the way to the highway. Well, it's packed all the way to the highway.
Man.
I mean, good Lord. And those people have to park all the way to the highway and then walk all the way back.
You need to open up a golf cart service down there, do a little shuttle business, man.
Oh, exactly. Oh, I tell you what, that's a good job for some kids with a golf cart.
Cart Uber, man. $5 a pop.
That's right.
Hop on in. I'll give you a ride to the boat dock for $5. I'll pick you up when you come in.
Oh, some kids can make a lot of money doing that.
Heck yeah.
I guarantee you. They can, because that's a pretty good distance. I guarantee you. I wouldn't want to walk it. Oh, my God.
Especially after fishing all day in the hot sun, you come in and go, oh, man, I got to go walk all the way in this heat to that hot truck and back in.
Ooh. Oh, and it was hot, too. Boy, I've been working on my boat. My three-bank charger went out on my boat. it was only charging two of the three batteries for my trolling motor. So I said, well, I got to replace this battery charger. Well, I had my boat in my boat stall. Well, you can imagine how hot that boat stall was.
Oh, that's like an oven, man.
That's right. So I was only going to work on it in the mornings, you know, when it's cool. Well, about 10:30, 11 o'clock, you're done. I mean,
pressure cooker.
That's it. So
no breeze.
No. Well, I had a fan in there. I had a fan, but by that time, 10:30, you're done. I mean, that's it. I'm done, you know. So shut it down. You know, I finally got it done. But, oh, my goodness, it was hot. It was hot. But, oh, my goodness. Oh, but on the other side, lighter side, we're going to talk about deer hunting a little bit here.
There you go. Now we're talking.
Now we're talking. Cool time. I talked to the guys about the deer hunting on the ranch in George West.
Right.
And they're going to do some management hunts, and they're going to do two hunts in December. The first 2 weeks in December are open, and that is the perfect time for some people, and because that's when those bucks start to rut.
Right.
In South Texas. So if anybody wants to do a management hunt, that is the time, because those bucks are going to be starting to rut. And that's when you start to see those bigger eight pointers come out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you want to get down there. So he's got openings for those first 2 weeks in December.
Oh, that's cool. No.
And, oh, yes, absolutely. And they can call him the ranch manager. The ranch game manager is Al Bisbee.
Yeah.
And his number is 361-701-6611. And I highly recommend giving him a call, because
yeah, that's a good opportunity.
Time.
Yeah,
that is because
you're looking for a big eight. I mean,
yes.
On a management hunt deal like that. So what does that consist of when you book one of those? You get what, like a buck and a doe or what?
Yeah, a buck and a doe.
Yeah.
Buck and a doe. And all the pigs you want. if they're nocturnal, of course. But sometimes you'll see them in the daylight early in the morning. You'll see them. And there's a couple of stands down there I really like for the pigs. And then they'll come rolling out there early in the morning, late in the afternoon. And because most of the time they're near a pond, you know, they got a pond near there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you'll see them. And keep them corned up real good. Those pigs show up, I guarantee you.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, I'd rather eat the pig than a deer, you know, myself.
You know, Hillman's like the same way. He makes all his sausage out of pigs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I like a little old young pig. Oh, man. Man, they're good.
Boy, I tell you,
we
cook those little sucklings, whatever you want to call them. They were still milk-fed, man, when they were all in that trap. And I cooked them whole. Oh, my goodness. You know, I put them on the mesquite first and kind of seared them a little bit, you know, with all my rub and seasoning on them, and then moved them to a big foil pan and cover them in foil, and then stick them in the oven in the house and finish them. Hey, pull the front leg or the ham bone off, and the meat would just fall off of it. It was just,
oh my,
I can't
goodness.
Even describe how tender and juicy and the flavor of those little pigs were.
Oh, my goodness.
We made pulled pork sandwiches out of that for 3 days. It was unbelievable.
Oh, man. Yeah, that is some good stuff there.
Yeah, it is.
Man, that's good. Yeah. Every year, for years, we did this down here in Port Conner. Everybody on my block, they'd have a Super Bowl party. And they'd tell me, they'd say, bring a pig back from the ranch.
Yeah.
So I'd bring one back. I'd bring one back, and I'd bring a smaller one. I wouldn't bring a big one. And then I'd cook it, on the grill, and we'd have a Super Bowl party.
Awesome.
And so we did that for years. I don't know why we ever stopped that, but anyway, I used to do that for years.
And all right, well, let me knock this break out, Lynn. Hang on, buddy. I'll be right back at you, man.
All right.
BigCashSnapper.com. The Big Cash Snapper Tournament, they're wrapping up their first annual series with a free entry snapper tournament. That's right, no entry fee. Fish anywhere along the Texas coast on Friday, September 5th from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. Get your teams together. You can bring in your best three snapper to the weigh-in at Rusty Hook Ranch in Matagorda on Saturday, the very next day, September 6th. Have your fish in there by 6 p.m. First place, free tournament now. First place pays $5,000. Second place, $2,500. Third place, $1,500. And also, they'll have side pots for Big Snapper, Big King, Big Ling, and Big Dorado. And then you can join in after the weigh-in for food, live music, and a fundraiser for the Hookspit Junior Anglers Association. Details at BigCashSnapper.com. That's BigCashSnapper.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit NationalDebtRelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
All right, welcome back to the Outdoor Show, 519 here in the Bayou City. Had to let that roll a little bit, Lynn, a little bad to the bone there, buddy.
There you go.
Hey, I got some text while we were on break. People asking about, you know, your that management hunt deal you were talking about. Does that include lodging and everything?
Yes.
And ballpark figure, what kind of expense are we looking at as far as money wise, dollar wise?
Yeah, lodging and meals. And a guide. Yeah.
Right.
And it's, I think it's like 1200. I think it's like 1200 bucks, if I'm not mistaken.
Per day?
No, I think for the whole thing.
And yeah, what is that? Like a 2.5 day package or something like that?
No, you come in on like a Sunday.
Right.
And it's for like three to four days of hunting, really. Which personally I don't think you need that long, be honest
right.
with you, to get your deer.
Well, that's a great deal.
Well, it is.
man.
Yeah. And especially in December.
Yeah, like that's said, prime time, buddy. You'll see a lot of giant bucks in the rut starting off. That's big time.
Oh yeah. Well, you see bucks that, and you know as well as I do, in December, those bucks are starting to rut, and you're going to see bucks that you don't see earlier in the season. You know, those bucks come out of the woodwork, man. I mean, you'll see some that'll make you drool, you know.
Yeah.
You go, oh, my goodness, you know, where'd that buck come from, you know.
Well, if you say if you're on this management hunt and you see one that you want to pull your checkbook out for, will they let you shoot it?
No, I don't think so.
No.
No, the ranch is leased, okay? But
right.
The deal is they lease it, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to manage the herd.
Gotcha.
And by doing that, they want to get these eight pointers and below taken off the place.
Gotcha.
And by managing it. So they're allowing you to shoot eight pointers and less.
Okay.
And there's some good eight pointers, don't you know?
Yeah, I've seen some really good ones that you sent me pictures of. Some that I wish I had on my wall.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's some eight pointers on there that are good ones. And you know, we had some hunters last year that hunted with us that said, hey, we want to come next year. And they've already booked. They've already booked. They're coming. I think there's four or five guys that are coming back. But
right.
They've already booked the ranch. But when they're these two openings that came up in December are prime times. I mean, man, if I was going to come down there, that's when I'd want to be there.
What's that, like the first 2 weeks of December?
Yes, uh-huh. Because that's when those bucks are going to be running does like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in South Texas, the prime time, from as far as I'm concerned, is the middle of December. You know, December 15th is prime rut time in South Texas.
Yeah, where you're at, up that way. Mm-hmm. It's a little later down by Blaine's.
Yeah, I would think so.
You know, closer you get to the border, the later it is. But up your right. way, that's prime, baby.
December 15th is yes. where we are. And then I've got another buddy of mine that owns a couple of ranches. He called me a couple of days ago. We were shooting a bull. And he's got a ranch in Johnson City called the Shirley Ranch. And he's going to run some management hunts, too.
Dang.
And he said, anybody can call the ranch. You can look it up online, the Shirley Ranch in Johnson City, and they want to run some management hunts also, eight pointers and below. And same deal, lodging, everything is included. And it's a good way to manage the herd and get rid of some of the smaller deer, smaller eight pointers and below, mm-hmm. and does. And because the biologist recommends taking X number of bucks, X number of does off the place.
Right.
So you have to do that to keep the herd in good shape. You have to do it. So anyway, he highly recommends that. So he's wanting to do that on the Shirley Ranch also. So
okay,
they can look it up online.
Okay. Yeah. Give some info how they can look that up on the line in Johnson City.
It's called the Shirley Ranch,
okay.
Look up the Shirley Ranch, Johnson City, Texas.
Okay.
And it comes up and it brings a number up. You can call that number. It's the secretary for the ranch, and you can call her and she can give you all the information on the hunts and everything.
Got you.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, and I. Getting a ton of text in, listeners. They didn't get the number the first time for that George West ranch that you were talking about. Could you give them that number again, that 361 number?
Sure, it's 361-701-6611.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And, that's. I think it's going to be a good year. They got rain at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be a good year, really should. And I talked to Al Bisbee yesterday. He's in Fort Worth at that extravaganza at the Hunters extravaganza. It's in Fort Worth this weekend, and I think it's supposed to be in San Antonio next weekend. So they're there selling deer stands and all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. But
a lot of that going on, you know. The real serious hunters, they're getting prepared right now.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Now's the time to do it. I guarantee you. Yeah, I saw, I don't know if I sent you that video of that deer stand being moved. And they were lowering it down onto a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And they were lowering it down to the trailer, and it was almost on the trailer, and it fell and just destroyed that deer stand.
Oh, boy.
I've seen that happen before.
Yeah, and I hope it didn't fall on anybody.
Yeah, I know it. Oh, my goodness. We've all been there and done
yeah.
it. Gosh almighty. It all seems like it's in the middle of the summer when you do it. I had some friends that they had a lease out near El Dorado, and they were out there they had a stand that had blown over. And so they were out there working on deer stands, and they were raising the deer stand, and there were three rattlesnakes under it. Luckily, they had their snake boots on, and as they were raising it, one of the rattlesnakes struck the snake boots on one of the guys.
Oh, it popped somebody, huh?
Oh, yeah, popped his boots. Popped him on the boots. But there were three snakes under that deer stand, under that plywood.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, you can't be too careful, I guarantee
you. No, you can't.
No. Oh, man. Yeah, I know I told the story. I was hunting up in Hunt, Texas, and some buddies of mine dropped me off at a stand, and I had to walk about 100 yards to this one ground stand in the dark, and I was trying to be quiet and all that, and they dropped me off, and I was walking up this trail, and I got to that stand, and when I got to the stand in the dark, I could see that the door was cracked open. So whoever hunted that stand left the door open. And I went, oh, this isn't good.
Nope.
And as I kind of moved the door a little bit, I could hear this rattlesnake buzzing inside the stand.
Not
I
good.
I said, you know what? I think I'm just going to leave this stand for you.
Yeah, I think there's another blind down here I want to hunt anyway.
Yeah. I think I'll just leave this one for you, buddy. I left the door open. In fact, I left it a little more open for him. And I went on another direction.
Goodness.
Yeah. Man, oh, man. Nope. You don't want to have anything to do with that. Man, oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to watch out, especially in the dark, you know, early in the morning.
Oh.
And that, hell, that walk to the blind could kill you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I ran into a woman yesterday here in Port O'Connor. In fact, we were talking about this yesterday. She had her granddaughter. They lived across the street here in Port O'Connor from her daughter and her husband. And her granddaughter was coming over to see her and jumped the ditch, coming over to see her. And a right. rattlesnake was in that ditch and struck her granddaughter on the leg.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And every time I see her, see the grandmother, I think about that. Every time I see her, you know, it just reminds me of that. But they had the life fighter.
That is
the life fighter granddaughter. Yeah.
Boy, that rattlesnake was, he was ready to rock.
Yes, he was.
Just jumping a ditch.
Well, there's some big ones. There's some big ones around here.
Yeah, there is.
People don't realize that.
When I was hunting down there with Ladner, and we'd run those hunts down by Showwater and all that, and walk across the island there, you'd park your big boat on the intercoastal, and you'd just walk across to one of your hot dog stands out there on the bay.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we had a trail beat out, you know, from hunting every day, but my guys are in front of me, and you could see the blind out there. We had some moon, and they're walking down that trail, and I'm the last one. I got a couple of bags of decoys over my shoulders, and my dog's with me, and I watch her just levitate and just jump over to the side and start barking, and I drop those decoy bags and turn the flashlight on. There was a 5-footer coiled up right in the middle of that trail that the four guys in front of me walked over that snake, and none of them got hit.
Oh,
how about that?
Mm. Oh, I believe
it. It's a big one. Man, that thing was big as my arm.
Oh, several guys were going over to Boy Scout Lake one time. I know you probably know where that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were, you know, they'd run their boat down the bay, and then they were walking over to Boy Scout Lake, and it was old Ron Elkins and Red Childers Oh, Red was just about
Watch
to take a
salty
step.
Crew.
Isn't it?
Yeah, buddy.
Red was just about to take a step, and Elkins grabbed him grabbed him by the back and grabbed his shirt and just pulled him back, and he was taking a step. Yeah, and he was just about to step right in the middle of a big old rattlesnake. Was caught up right in the middle of the trail.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Just that's an early morning eye-opener right there, dog.
Ooh, I'm telling you, man. That'd ruin your whole day. Yeah. You gotta be wide open. I don't walk out of my house without looking. You know, you never know. I had my daughter down here one 4th of July, and my neighbor came over, and she was over here with my daughter, and we were fixing to go to the beach. I was going to take them to the beach and look for sand dollars, and we were just walking out of the house, and my neighbor said, "Oh," she said, "there's a snake. Snake up here." I said, "What?" She said, "Yeah, there's a snake on the upstairs." And it was a snake. It was a rat snake, but you never know. And yeah, that snake had come upstairs. You know, these snakes come up these wooden stairs. People don't realize that.
But yeah, they will.
They will come up those stairs.
They want to come in.
Yep.
Let me knock this break out. I'll be right back, man. Hang with me.
You betcha.
All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers, located right at the base of the Texas City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand at the store. They have them on display, all their different size bottles and regulators, diffusers. They refill your bottles there at the store. If you need more info on the oxygen response, call Jason Cogburn, 281-701-8107. And when you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught Gulf seafood there. There's no farm-raised at Boyd's. It's all wild-caught, and always have great deals on their 9, 12s, 15, 18, whatever count you're looking for. And don't forget about their Cajun Grill next door. They put out some really good food there at great prices, and their food truck over in Santa Fe. That's a big hit. 409-945-4001, or check them out at boydsonestop.com. When you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Good morning and welcome back to the Outdoor Show, 538 here in the Bayou City. All right, Liam, we are back. I had another text for you. Well, actually two. One guy wanted to know if you knew a man named Jay Hicks.
You know, that name is familiar. That name is familiar.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, that name is real familiar. I'm sure I do. I probably know the face for sure.
Yeah. Another listener wants to know, what is your go-to whitetail deer rifle? What do you shoot?
270.
270. Yep. A lot of people do. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's hard to beat, you know.
It is. It's a great
deer. Yes, it is. And my 270 that I shoot was built by a fellow that I used to shoot skeet with. He was in the service. He tested rifles and scopes and stuff for the Army. Mm-hmm. And he told me one time, he said, if you can find a caliber better than a 270, he said, I'll take 10 of them. So he told me. He said, you know, it's hard to beat a 270 ballistic-wise, you know, just for an all-around caliber. It really is. And so anyway, I bought this rifle from him that he had built. He took a Model 70 action. He sent back to Winchester. They put a Douglas barrel on it, and he bedded the receiver and floated the barrel, and he gave me the recipe for what he loaded for it. And for a while there, I hand loaded it, and oh my goodness, it would just, you could hammer tacks with it. Oh my goodness. And I lost what I loaded for it. But it got to the point where I didn't shoot that much. So I just bought loads right over the counter, but it still just hammers tacks. And basically I got to where I just bought good old Remington core locks and 130 grain core locks.
Mm-hmm.
And good grief, I mean, it just puts them where you want it, you know. And man, it shoots good. And now I've got the suppressor on there, and oh man, what a joy to shoot, you know.
Right.
That rifle is awesome. And I've got a pretty light trigger on that rifle. And I had a guy that was a customer one time. This guy was, I'll never forget, he used to be the baseball coach at University of Texas. And he didn't even bring a rifle down to hunt. And I said, well, I've got mine. You can shoot mine. I said, I want to warn you now, the trigger is a light trigger. It has no creep. My trigger does not creep. You can put your finger on the trigger, but when you start to, you think, pull it, it's too late. It's gone.
It's too late. That's the way my Weatherby is.
Uh-huh.
Get your finger on there, and as soon as you exhale it, and you're just starting to squeeze, it just goes off.
That's right.
So, it's hard to yank on one when they do that.
That's right. You can't yank on it. So
hair
anyway.
I like a hair trigger.
He was going to shoot a management buck, and there was a big eight-pointer came out. And I said, well, you want to shoot that one? He said, yeah, let me have your rifle. So I said, now remember that trigger now. He said, okay. So he got up, going, boom, boy, they dropped that buck. He turned around, looked at me, he said, well, you weren't just kidding about that trigger.
Nope. Surprise, surprise.
Said, yeah. I said, well, but you got him. He said, oh, yeah. He said, well, that trigger's sweet. I said, I told you. Yes, sir.
Well, you know, there's so many, you know, deer rifles now, they're like soft plastic baits. I mean, there's... What do you want? I mean, there's mm-hmm. so many different calibers and different brands and all of that. But if anybody's getting into the deer hunting business, and I'd recommend just buying something, a popular caliber. They all kill whitetail deer. Shot locations, everything. You can hunt with a Magnum.
That's right.
If you're good, you can kill deer with a .223. But
that's right.
But
find, you know,
something
what I recommend.
That the ammo is plentiful and affordable, you know, like a .270
right.
or .308. I mean, you can't go wrong. You're always going to find ammo anywhere you go in the world for those two calibers.
That's what I was going to say.
They got plenty of accuracy and knockdown power for anything you want to shoot, basically.
That's what I was going to say. Get you something that's plentiful. The ammo's plentiful. No matter where you go. No matter where you go, you can go in a store and you can find ammo for it. You know, don't get some kind of weird caliber that if you run out of ammo or you lose your ammo, you're off on some hunting expedition.
Yes.
You can't find that caliber. You know, don't get that. Get something that you can find ammo for. Yeah.
Yep.
I highly recommend that. And like you say, 270, 30-06, you know, 308, something like that. You're in good shape, you know. 7 mag.
Yep.
You're okay. But some of these off caliber loads, you know, Wildcat loads, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, like a 6.5 PRC, that's a great gun and great round and everything, but you know, it depends on your rifle, which specific grain bullet, whether it's a 127 or a 142 grain, you know, that it shoots best. You got to determine that when you sight it in, figure it out, which, you know, which that's group's the best for you. And
that's right.
And make sure you buy plenty of extra, because sometimes you just can't pull in at, you know, a box store or anywhere else around the country and find those rounds, you know, the availability. What? That's like my 257 Weatherby. I just, it's so expensive to shoot. I love that gun and all that, but you just stock up. I order them online where I have them. They're not cheap. I mean, hey, but how many times you going to shoot that gun in a year's time?
That's right.
I'll get in there to hunt, and I'll send two down the range to make sure I'm on, and that's it. And I may use one more round for a deer or two.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
$4 a bullet
yeah.
or more.
Yeah.
It depends on which one you're shooting, whether it's 90, 100 grain, 115.
And, you know, it amazed me when I hand-loaded from my 270. I'd buy a couple of boxes of bullets to hand-load with. And
right.
It's amazing. You start weighing them, weigh those bullets. It's amazing the difference in the weight of those bullets. It's amazing. And I would pick out the ones that were right on, and I'd put aside the ones that were off, and I would use those for like practice, you know.
Right.
And I'd box up the ones that were perfect.
Yeah.
And man, I'll tell you what, when you got those loaded up, you talk about accurate. Oh, my goodness. Man, you squeeze one of those off, and you could hammer tacks with those. Man, oh, man. I used to love that.
You got to feed your gun what it likes.
That's right. That's right. Every gun is different. Everyone is different.
You know, that 6.8 SPC of mine, it loves 120 grain Hornady SSTs. I mean, that is just, I can get a little more speed out of a 110, but it's not that much more. But the accuracy on it, I'm just a little bit, I mean, it still groups really well, but I mean, tack driving that 120 SST Hornady, it eats them like popcorn. It loves them.
Just sweet, huh?
Yeah.
Man.
And it's like 270. Man. Every 270 I ever had, 130 grain is the best grain bullet to shoot in that gun. For whatever reason,
absolutely.
You get 150s for it, but it's way more accurate with a 130.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep, that's what you want. Yep, 130 is ideal. And, you know, you can shoot anything in South Texas with it. You know, I mean, it's great. That's all I ever shoot. But I've got to where now I just go with the old Remington Core-Lok 130 grain, you know, pointed soft point.
Right.
And, man, it's hard to beat. It's hard
I'm
to beat.
I'm with you.
Yeah, buddy. It's a great load.
I mean, we're hunting white-tailed deer. We're not hunting grizzly bear.
That's it. You got
a polar bear.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah. Sometimes you think you are, but I'll tell you what, when I was in Alaska fishing and I had that big brown bear stand up in that tall grass and look at me.
Oh no.
I was wishing I had something. I wishing I had something big. Man. Yeah.
You got a sight on you. You want it to be a 44 mag or a 10 millimeter Glock.
Man, I guarantee you, I didn't have a gun. The guide didn't even have a gun.
Oh man, that's rare.
It is, and that big sow, she stood up and she had triplets with her.
That ain't good.
No.
Not when they got cubs, man. That's dangerous. Very dangerous.
And they were with her. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
They weren't separated from her, you know, and she stood up and I just froze, and they were probably, you know, they were probably 40 to 50 yards from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just froze, and she stood up and she looked at me, and the guide was behind me, and he said, "Don't move." I said, "Don't worry, I'm not moving." And she looked at me, and let me tell you something, those brown bears are huge.
They are.
That close to you. It's unbelievable how big they are. And she just stared at me, and I stared at her, and she just lowered down, and she walked off with those triplets. She had a set of twins, and then she had a single with her, you know, single cub. But they just meandered off. But trust me on this, the pucker factor set in.
You think?
Ooh, I'm here to tell you, buddy. Yep, that pucker factor did set in.
Did you see where that millionaire and entrepreneur guy from Texas was in South Africa hunting? And where he was gored to death by a buffalo he was stalking?
No.
Yeah, that there's been a bunch of stuff online about it. Man, all the anti-hunter people are glad he was killed. And I mean, how can you say that about another human being?
Man. I mean,
it's... We live in some crazy times.
We had a woman. In fact, she was there at the Shirley Ranch, there in Johnson City, and she was from South Africa. And they had killed a Cape buffalo, and they were standing around taking pictures. And anyway, they were standing there taking pictures, and a buffalo charged out of the grass, out of the brush, while they're taking pictures, and gored her husband, and he was the guide.
Wow.
And killed her husband. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. That's what a beast. It's one of the most dangerous animals on the planet.
Absolutely. I mean, they were through hunting. You know, they were just standing there taking pictures and standing around talking and everything.
Well, that must have been his little brother or something.
It could have been.
He didn't like him killing my buddy.
Could have been.
Wow.
I told you about my neighbor, you know, when he was down there in Africa and he was hunting Cape Buffalo. I mean, his professional hunter, his PH, retired from hunting and wrote a book about his hair-raising experiences. And one of the chapters of his book is about my neighbor. And he said that they were trying to sneak up on these Cape buffalo, and they were easing down a dry creek bed, and the grass that they were sneaking up on this herd of Cape buffalo. The grass was real tall along the edge of the bank. And he said this buffalo charged him out of that tall grass. And he said the guide spun around and fired. And Carl spun around, and he said he didn't even think. He said it was just natural. He flipped his safety off, and he fired. That buffalo was on a full charge. And he said he threw up and he fired. A bullet went right up that nose of that buffalo.
Wow.
And he said that buffalo hit the ground. His front legs folded up, hit the ground, slid right up to him, and slobbered on his boots.
That's as close as it gets right there.
It doesn't get any closer.
That's kind of like that video of Jim Shockey that time when they were hunting a killer hippo. And it charged him out of the thick brush like that, and from a waist shot, you know, from a hip shot, boom, drop that big hippo right at his feet.
Oh my goodness.
I'm sure he had to go back to the Jeep, put some clean drawers on.
Well, Carl said, you know, he said, when I shot, I wasn't nervous when I shot. He said, I just threw up and shot. But he said when that buffalo hit the ground and slid up there and slobbered on my boots, he said my knees went to jelly.
I bet he went in shock.
Oh, you know he did. He had to have. He said you just didn't realize till that second. He said my knees just went to jelly. And you realize then just how close you came to being killed, you know.
Sure.
I mean,
well, it's a reaction. It's you don't have time to think or get scared. You just got, you know,
right.
It's just a impulse thing.
That's right. But good grief. I can just imagine. It puts a chill up my back just thinking about it. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, man.
What do they call
those
big,
close.
Big buffaloes over there, Black Death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'll kill you in a heartbeat.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. That's the two dangerous things in Africa, they say, are the Cape buffalo and the hippos.
Yeah.
The two. I think the hippos kill more people than anything.
I think they do, yeah.
Yeah.
That and crocodiles. Man. Crocodiles get a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
The old crocs.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I'm glad we don't have them here. Well, they got that freshwater croc.
Well, that saltwater croc, too. You know, I've heard Cliff tell me stories about them. It's, they had a place where they surfed somewhere, I forget, and you had to paddle across some lagoon to get to the beach to go surf, and you were crocodile bait on that surfboard. That's all right. I'll pass.
Yeah. I saw them down there in Costa Rica, the saltwater crocs down there. No, thank you. No, thank you. You know, 15 feet or better. Big boys.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
All right, buddy.
No, thank you.
Well, Lynn, if somebody wants to come down to Port O'Connor and fish with you or call you about a hunting trip, how do they get a hold of you, man?
Yeah, give me 361-935-6833.
All right, brother. Well, Lynn, you have a good weekend, sir. What's left of it, and I'll talk to you next week. You be safe out there, buddy. Try to stay hydrated and cool if that's possible.
I hope we get a shower this week, man. We need one bad.
We sure could. We could use some, brother. All right, man.
Yes, sir. Have a good
one,
man.
Thanks, Lynn. Have a good one.
You too, man.
Later.
Bye.
All right. All right, it's time for our top of the hour break and the national anthem, all that good stuff. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.